Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It started off so well. That reading, doesn't it? It starts off so well. About welcoming the little child. Being humble like the little child. Right? Am I alone in this? It starts off so well, and I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about worship tonight, even just a few minutes ago. I was wondering to myself, why didn't the Half Judy chop off that last bit? We could have just talked about child stuff. Way back, a couple months ago, when Pastor Pam and I first started talking about coming together as Prince of Peace in Bethel to do Lenten services together, we were trying to come up with a theme. Things to kind of center the services around. And somehow we got on the idea of things that were in our community, things in our backyard, things of life. And one of the things that always comes to mind for me when I think of this community, when I think of Shoreline and such, is I think of the school district. You know, that's where our name comes from, isn't it? Shore to shore, line to line. Shore of Puget Sound and the shore of Lake Washington, the original boundaries for the district, the shore of the city of Seattle to the shore of the county. Did I just teach you something, or did you already know that? You're all so quiet, it's like it's Lent. So that's one of the reasons we used that reading tonight, was because of the whole kid thing. But like I said, it keeps going. And even just a few minutes ago, even just as worship was beginning, I was thinking to myself, why didn't have Judy chop that part off? And then as I was reading the second half, again, it just hit me how painfully true that second half is. About stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks for faith. Stumbling blocks even for community. Probably every person in this room has been a good church-going Lutheran or something else for a while now. Is that fair to say? Most of us, at least? I could be wrong. I don't know all of you. But I've got a good idea of who usually shows up for a Lenten evening service. How often have we in the church unintentionally put up stumbling blocks for people? How often have we focused on things that just don't matter? Allowed ourselves to be distracted by petty disputes? Should these pews be orthogonal to the hypotenuse of the diagonal, or should they be parallel to the perpendicular of the arc? I have no doubt in my mind that when the day came that these pews were put at an angle, that there was some dispute about it at first. I wasn't here, but I'm willing to place bets on that. Within my first week or two of starting in this congregation, I had someone show up in my office right before worship one day, furious with me. Because the week before, I had requested that we no longer raise and lower the screen during worship. Because for those of you who haven't worshiped here, when that thing's going up or down, it is slow. And it is loud. In the first service, I was in here, and they started to raise it for the sermon. And I went, sorry, I cough now. And it did it for what felt like an hour. It was probably like 30 seconds, but still, wow. And so this person came in very heartfelt and upset with me. Because by requesting that the screen not go up anymore, I was blocking the cross. And I get that, and I respect that, I understand that. And at the same time, wow. When I hear about people outside of the church thinking that we're out of touch, I got a hunch I know some of the things we do that make them feel that way. Woe to the stumbling blocks. Man, how many times have I been a stumbling block? How many times have I unintentionally not allowed someone to show their faith? The simple action during Lent last week, Pastor Pam was so inspired, and it was so brilliant to have someone stand up and, not stand up, you said, but to share a faith story. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I encourage someone else to do that instead of standing before you right now and talking about it? I've done it before, so I won't completely convict myself, but at the same time, if I've done it before me, I've invited people to speak. I'm over-explaining. That's my stumbling block. The last week or so here at Bethel, we've been having a lot of really good conversation about what we're going to be doing in the near future. And something that struck me last week in an article I was reading was talking about the difference between the mission that we are a part of as followers of Christ, the things that we claim to believe and that we claim to teach and follow, and the methods that we use to share that with others, and how so often we put those methods ahead of that mission. We are not called to be caretakers of the gospel. We are called to be proclaimers of it. We are not called to survive as congregations. We are called to thrive as followers of Jesus Christ. Hard time to be a Christian right now, or at least to be someone in an organized church. I don't know how many of you use the social media, things like Facebook or Twitter, or I don't know. There's all these things now that I don't even know about, because now there's a generation behind me and they've taken over that stuff. Insta something, Gram. Going somewhere with them. I distracted myself. Driving. The article, thank you. That's what it was. I remember now. I can't count the number of times just in the past week and a half where I've seen a friend of mine post something on Facebook that has hurt me. Something about the decline of the church, or about the hypocrisy of Christians, or about this or that or the other thing. I see it all the time. And the thing that frustrates me the most is not that they post that, but that people give them the opportunity to do so by acting in that way. We are followers of Christ. That's our primary identity. Not Democrat or Republican. Not straight or gay. Not rich or poor. We are united by Christ in love for one another and for the world. And every time we miss that, every time we fail to share that, we stumble. And worst of all, we cause others to as well. Now, having said all of that, I have good news for you. Because you should always end on good news. And the good news was the first part of that. We are followers of Christ. We are followers of one who gave himself for us. We are followers of one who has taught us and showed us what it truly means to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we have been promised that even when we mess up, and I assure you, you all have, and I have, I might have even done so in the middle of this message, I assure you that we have been granted forgiveness, a new life, a new hope. I ask you this evening to take a moment when you leave from here and just to spend 1 minute asking yourself the question, how can I be less of a stumbling block